We're talking to Bill Cotterell in the first hour, and we have Michelle Raywinkle Vasilinda being introduced today as a regular contributor to our show with her own special segment. She's got a top-rated environmental attorney, Ralph DeMeo, as her guest. You stay with me. We've got a whole lot coming your way.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So once again, you and I have gathered ourselves in this moment, in the next 2 hours, to find out what it is Tallahassee is talking about this week. And the best minds we have at our disposal are pointing in the direction of Michelle Raywinkle Vasilinda. So it's our pleasure to present to you today her first special segment. And as such, as you know, we do this. We have a number of contributors who kindly enough bring such good stuff to us from week to week. People like Bill Wulsifer and Tim Linnefelt, and now joining their ranks, Michelle Raywinkle Vasilinda, and of course, our own lovely stalwart co-host Miriam Dady with the Business Spotlight. It gives you and I a chance to just get a better perspective, I think, perhaps a better rounded perspective of all that is about Tallahassee and all that's going on in this here fine southern city of ours. If you've lived here for any length of time, and I mean even 5 years, you know it's cooking. I can remember back in the day when J.T. Burnett was sitting here with us, and and he made the comment. This was during that time when, if you recall this, Imagine Tallahassee, one of his contributions to our understanding, I would say, and certainly our discussion of Tallahassee. Imagine Tallahassee was afoot, and J.T. was here to talk about that effort and some of the other things that he was involved in. And he made the point. He said, you know, Tallahassee really doesn't know exactly who she is. He said, we haven't found our spot on the wall. That's a curious statement. And I think there's validity there. I think that that was true then. But what you and I have been witnessing is a sort of evolution then, a kind of unfolding of who we are. And yes, I'm fond of repeating that here because to me, of all the conversations that we have had in our 6 years now, by the way, as of February, we celebrated our sixth anniversary. So congratulations to all the the Moosefites who have contributed to our welfare. We are pleased to come to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com, our radio station. So these moosey kind of people who make this show possible in these 6 years, most notably Carl Cerny, my son, who has Carl is one of the most loyal, most trustworthy person. Carl, I'm gushing, and I'm probably embarrassing you, but you deserve to be embarrassed because you are a very strong contributor to our good show. And in all these 6 years that have come and gone, here we are in our seventh season. And yes, to bring this back to my point, this conversation we are having about Tallahassee and how it is moving out and moving forward and moving up and inviting more people in and incorporating people more decidedly, that it is less difficult to contribute, is less difficult to find a place at the table, we'll say, figuratively speaking. So here you have Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, who for 8 years served the people of North Florida as House Representative. And in those 8 years of service, found herself working with all kinds of folks and working across the aisle, we'd say, and with not just Republicans and Democrats, let's say, but with independents and libertarians and those with no party affiliation. I mean, she, in my view, opened her hand and her heart and her mind to hearing from those that she was intent upon serving. So much so that it became the real downbeat for her to see what was in the best interests of the people, not necessarily a given political party. In fact, by the end of last year, she had decided to move away from her affiliation with the Democrat Party and declared herself no party affiliation. Recently, she has now declared her position as a member of the Republican Party. So an interesting transition for Michelle, which didn't happen without a certain amount of criticism from some of her friends and colleagues. But I think that was balanced out with those who welcomed her or appreciated her willingness to be honest and to be independent of any particular strain of influence. In any case, it certainly is our privilege to have her as a contributor now with us. And she's got this great guest today, Ralph DeMayo. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to oversell this, but you really need to stay with me through the entire show today. They will be with me in the second hour, and Michelle will really carry the ball. She's going to talk with Ralph about his involvements as an attorney, a top-rated environmental attorney, his compassion and his care for animals, one of the few in the state that carries water for our furry friends who otherwise are unrepresented. When it comes to the care and needed compassion and representation for animals. So a great individual, an educator, has been teaching out at TCC for some 25 years. Great individual. Ralph DeMayo is her guest in this first installment with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda. Very cool stuff. In the first hour, I've got Bill Cotterell. And Bill, as you know, if you've been in Tallahassee for a length of time, you know, you followed his column. Formidable would be an understatement. He has contributed to our understanding through his political writings for all of these decades. And we'd like to tease Bill that I think he's now in his sixth retirement. Isn't that right? So, you know, the poor man, I mean, he retires and then they just go out and they drag him back in. Either that or it's just it's an itch he can't scratch kind of thing. He just keeps on. But contributes to our understanding. He as a columnist there in the Tallahassee Democrat, wise folks over there who continue to lean on Bill for his insight. So we'll have Bill with us here in the first hour to talk about what is going on. Of course, earlier in the week, we heard announced officially the candidacy of our own mayor, Andrew Gillum, who is now officially declared as a candidate for governor. We're going to find out from Bill his perspective on that. And immediately, there was a little bit of dust up going on. They had to sort of tamp down some concerns and criticism that that Mayor Gillum received in relation to some emails that were provided or sent out while he was still within the confines of his role as mayor. So, in other words, using public resources to do that. So we'll find out the details of that perhaps from Bill. But in any case, you're going to get a great review then of things going on locally, statewide, and nationally from Bill Cotterell. That's what we've got lined up. It's going to be a great show. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Truck and Car Concept. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concept. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concept. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kit for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Good morning. I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a guest that will make you all just sigh and relax. I have Tracy Cochran here, who owns an English bed and breakfast right here in Tallahassee, Florida. And I am so pleased to have you, Tracy. Thank you for being my guest.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Now, it's the Little English Cottage, is that right?
No.
No.
It's the Little English Guest House.
Oh, of course.
Bed
I
and
keep
breakfast.
Seeing that. But I think of it as a
you
cottage.
You think of it as a cottage.
Yes,
right.
I do. How in the world did you come up with this idea?
Well, my husband and I traveled a lot in our previous business careers, and mm-hmm. we always stayed at chain hotels, very nice hotels, I might add. But when we traveled together on holiday, we didn't want to stay at a chain hotel because it felt like a business trip. And so we started, decades ago, staying at bed and breakfasts because they felt more like vacation.
Nice.
And one of the things we liked about bed and breakfast as we traveled around the country is that they were always different and unique and homey and comfortable, and there was an innkeeper that was really glad that you were there. And so yeah. That's kind of what gave us the idea. And obviously in those days before the internet was invented, we used the books, the travel books that
yeah.
we had, and
yeah.
I was always drawn to bed and breakfast that had a European flair.
Yeah.
English style or English looking, and we got there. We were in Kentucky or Michigan or wherever we were, and I was sometimes a little disappointed to discover that the innkeeper was not in fact English, or was not in fact British. They were usually American. Nothing
no,
wrong with that. My husband
no,
is American.
Of course, with your Southern accent, I would wonder or wouldn't wonder that you would be attracted to English. Tell me, where are you from?
I'm from London.
From London.
I'm from London. Actually, a little town just outside London, on the east side of London, called Hornchurch. And I've been in Florida for 30 years.
30 years.
30
and what
years.
Brought you to Tallahassee?
I married a man that didn't want to move to London. That's the short version.
Good man. But you brought a little bit of England to
That's
us.
That's right. We like to think that Little English Guest House is a little piece of England in the middle of Florida. Well, perhaps not geographically in the middle of Florida, but in Florida is a little piece of England.
In the middle of the panhandle,
that's
right. For sure.
That's right.
What about your home is English? Do you serve English food?
We don't serve a typical English breakfast. We typically have tea every day. We mm-hmm. have cream sherry, and I think that's decorated in a very English style. And we have a lot of guests that have been to England.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's what catches their eye when they're looking for a bed and breakfast. And they all agree when they come in that it does actually feel very English. So it's, there's lace curtains, and the beds are dressed with English linens and so on. Some folks don't think it's very English, and then I ask them if they've been to England, and they haven't. So I think that's perhaps perception of what you think England looks like. So, for example, right inside the front door, we have a 6-foot knight in shining armor. We call him Sir Lancelot. And most people in England do not have a 6-foot knight in shining armor in their yeah, home.
Exactly.
But we found him when we liked him, and that's why we bought him and put him there. And
see,
so
you have those people that think every house in England looks like Downton Abbey.
Yes, so. I would love it if our inn looked like Downton Abbey. That would be, the air conditioning bill would be really high, though,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. What is your typical guest? Who comes to stay?
We have
with
all
you?
Sorts of guests, yeah. And it is the wonderful thing about owning a bed and breakfast. So, in the last 14 years, we have had all kinds of guests. During legislative session, we obviously get a lot of people from around the state that are coming to Tallahassee to educate their legislators,
yes,
about whatever issue is important to them.
Right.
Some of that lobbying sometimes goes on in the breakfast room, because we also often have people who are writing legislation staying with us. And it's always interesting to hear that going on in the breakfast room. We have lots of wedding parties, mm-hmm, not so much the wedding, but maybe guests of weddings that are coming to Tallahassee. The bride and groom will stay with us, I should say, and then often what happens is they'll come back and spend their wedding anniversary with us for the next 5 or 6 years, and
nice.
That's always very nice. We have lots and lots of business travelers.
Yes.
And we have folks that come back on a regular basis because they have to be in Tallahassee once a month or once a quarter, and they, like my husband and I did, kind of tire of staying at a corporate hotel that can feel a little sterile after a while, so they find us and then they come back to us on a regular basis.
It becomes their home base.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what about European travelers?
We have lots of European travelers. Oh. My husband tells me I'm prejudiced because they're my favorite. the English ones particularly. Our guests are mostly American, I will say. They're mostly from the tri-state area, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. In the summer, we get lots of Europeans because they tend to take a longer vacation. And once you've bought a plane ticket to come to America, it behooves you to stay a little longer because it is expensive. Many Europeans will land in Miami, come through Orlando, and stop in Tallahassee for a couple of days before they go on to New Orleans or out to the Grand Canyon or wherever they're going. Yes. We advertise in Le Petit Futé. It's a French guidebook that is published in France and then translated into Italian and German.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak English and enough French to make you think I speak French. I speak enough French to be able to talk to my French guests.
There you go.
My mother-in-law was French, my husband's mother. Was French. She was from Nice. His dad was American. And so we often practiced on each other because she'd been here by the time she died, I want to say 60 years. And so she liked to talk to me and practice her French because she moved over when she was in her 20s also.
How can people that are listening now, how can they take a look? How can they find you? Do you have a website?
We do. We do. It's www.littleenglishguesthouse.com. And you can go on there and see the rooms. There's videos. There's photographs. You can book a room. You need a major credit card to do so. And you'll get an instant confirmation. And it's pretty efficient, kind of like booking any other hotel or lodging establishment.
That's wonderful, because so one way you get to stay close to your relatives is not to stay too close.
Right.
And when you have them into town and you want to provide kind of a unique experience for them, having you as an option with littleenglishguesthouse.com. I got it right that time.
That's right.
And it really takes the pressure off the whole family.
Absolutely.
Especially with things like anniversaries and weddings and bar mitzvahs and all the activity that goes with that. You don't need an inflatable mattress in your living room.
No, that would be horrendous.
Yeah.
We have lots of folks that stay with us over the Thanksgiving and Christmas period, actually.
That's wonderful.
They come to Tallahassee to visit grandma or mom and dad, and there's no room at their house, so they stay with us. And sometimes at the end of the day, it's Christmas. Sometimes a little separation is good, so that you can continue loving your family, so that your in-laws don't become outlaws. You can send them to us.
So Tallahassee, you now have a recipe to keep the peace in among your family and friends. When it's football season or one of the holidays, you need to get in touch with Tracy. It's the littleenglishguesthouse.com. You're going to fall in love with it like I have. And that is it for us today. I appreciate you listening. I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So Bill Cotterell is our guest here once again this morning. How are you, Bill?
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us on this fine occasion when our own dear mayor, Andrew Gillum, has declared his candidacy. And without missing a beat, already there was some bit of controversy related to his use of public resources. So what's the deal?
Well, it's going to be, I think, a very interesting campaign. First of all, the good news, as they say in those old jokes. The good news is Andrew Gillum is a very, I think, very competent, well presented. Mm-hmm. He's a pro. He's right. Not, yep. Well, for you, want of a better word, he's not a nut. Mm-hmm. There are some, perhaps, I don't know if you'd call Tallahassee a small town, but certainly not one of Florida's major cities. There are some small-time legislators, mayors, mm-hmm. county commissioners out there that occasionally take a shot, see what they is,
see
if lightning strikes.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those. I mean, he has a professionally presented, well-packaged campaign. He's he does a good job. He's a confident-looking man, right, who I think inspires a great deal of confidence. Listening to him, talking with him, he seems very self-possessed and, I'm trying to think of perhaps earnest, a way of he can make you believe that, yes, we can do these things. Mm-hmm. And his concerns, the things that he's bringing to the campaign, I find courageous. Mm-hmm. For instance, he talks about giving prisoners a second chance, that, you know, these guys are coming out, they're either going to get jobs and do well in life, mm-hmm. or they're going to be condemned to a lifetime of poverty and crime. And other candidates aren't going around saying things like, let's try to educate, the other big thing with him, of course, education. Let's educate poor people so that they don't have a cycle of poverty.
Right.
You don't hear other candidates saying these things, not even Democrats. Perhaps they will allude to them once they're on a bigger stage, when they've got a few million in the bank, mm-hmm. and they're a household name statewide and a major player.
Right.
But Andrew Gillum, I think, has come out of the gate early, talking sincerely, seriously about the concerns of working families, young people. I'm sure he will later get to immigrants, which are a growing segment of our legal voting population, mm-hmm. In parts of the state, like Osceola County. That's the good news. The bad news is that, as you mentioned, kind of stumbled right out of the gate. As soon as, in fact, on the eve of his formal announcement, the news broke that he had purchased computer software from a company that does business with liberal democratic caucus causes, that this software was used with the city's, used by the city, not only for official business, but as the mayor said, he needed it for public events like the Longest Table, mm-hmm. Community gathering, mm-hmm. some other perhaps festivals or public occasions. But it was also used when Joe Biden came to town last September. Someone, perhaps without the mayor's knowledge, but with or without the knowledge of the mayor, City Hall used this to invite people to a purely political event over at Florida A&M with the vice president at that time, which was a Hillary Clinton for president, mm-hmm. president event.
Right.
The mayor said he will reimburse the city. Mm-hmm. He apologized. He said it shouldn't have happened. It was wrong. Mm-hmm. That in itself would be bad enough, but would not be terribly surprising, because everybody knows Andrew Gillum is a liberal Democrat, Hillary supporter, nothing.
Yeah.
No big revelation there.
Right.
But the fact that it is technically illegal, and that he had to apologize for it on the very day that he's announcing his candidacy for governor. That's not something on your kickoff day, the opening day of the baseball season.
Yep.
You want pennants and balloons and smiling faces and happy people, bands playing and all that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to say, oh, by the way, like telling your wife, you know, honey, you're going to laugh when I tell you this, but...
I don't even know her name.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's not a good opening.
And then on top of this, the video, the 5 minute and some odd video that he posted on YouTube to announce his candidacy, which was extremely well done, professional production. How was that paid for? He did not form a campaign committee to collect and disperse funds until 4:30 on Tuesday, and then this video pops up on Wednesday. So it had to have been made, edited, scripted, rehearsed, filmed, had to have been done in the weeks prior to the announcement. And I assume perhaps it was all done on the cuff, that the video company will be paid later. But you're not supposed to raise money for a thing like that or sign contracts and make commitments until you have appointed a campaign treasurer and named a campaign, filed a campaign committee.
So it's the same reason or the same issue at stake when people ask me why I never went into stand-up comedy. It's all about the timing, huh?
Yeah, timing is everything, as they say in politics.
I don't get that. If I'm running for office and you're my campaign advisor, isn't it part of your job to kind of look around the room and say, you know, Brian, you might want to come out first with this, get that out of your way, rather than thinking nobody's going to notice this because there's going to be people who are, like you said, they're laying waiting for this opportunity.
Just in my own mind, I call it the dead guy in Palatka. About 40 years ago, back in the 70s, there was a reporter here in
the dead guy
in Tallahassee,
Palatka. Okay, I'm ready.
He would say, just joking, not on the air, not on the record, but perhaps we'd be having lunch, be sitting around talking, maybe with a candidate, a guy running for, I don't know, education commissioner, secretary of state, something like that.
Right.
Back when those were elected cabinet positions, and he would just say, we'd be, as I say, having lunch or something. And then he'd say, well, yeah, that's all true. And then there's the dead guy in Palatka. And the campaign manager would have a sudden intake of breath and look, the what?
As if to say there are...
Or a phone message, you know, and can I tell him what you're calling about? Yeah. The dead guy in Palatka.
The dead guy in Palatka.
Never mind, I'll get him. I don't want to hear this. Well, sometimes in my own imagination, I don't write it in my column because nobody else is familiar with it. But very often when something like this happens, I thought, like yesterday, why didn't somebody say to Andrew Gillum, you know,
you the gotta day, deal with this.
Now, he did know they were going to hit him. He told Politico on, I guess, Tuesday, he said, I know that they're going to make me look like something I wouldn't even recognize myself. They're going to hit me with so many different things that he didn't mean just on day one.
Yeah.
I'm sure he means for the next year.
Ongoing.
And that is time-honored tradition in Florida politics.
It seems.
Negative campaigning.
And it has become the standard of operation for us nationally, where you don't step out into the public arena without knowing you're...
Sure.
This is the gladiators of old that are coming together to in a blood sport, right?
And also, I mean, he certainly knows that there's probably more to come, and people will twist and, well, like I said about, he said in the video about how prisoners coming out of prison, they need to get a second chance and they need to get education and training. If I was running a campaign against him, I'd say, oh, sure, he wants your kid to have to work next to a dangerous thug, and I'd put an image on a screen of Willie Horton, the guy who was used in ads against Mike Dukakis, the murderer in prison.
Yeah.
But you know, you could take a well-meant statement like that and twist it to, you know, he's in favor of tax increases. Never mind that these were increases on rich people and they were used for excellent, badly causes, needed things.
Right. Yeah.
I could say, oh, yeah, he advocated a 25% tax increase.
We're talking with Bill Cotterell, celebrated columnist, sports writer, not, political writer. Sorry, I've got baseball on my mind.
Yes, it's that time.
It is that time of year. We're going to continue this rather lively conversation with our dear friend. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Bill Cotterell, who brings us all kinds of interesting stories from past and from our current, our contemporary scene. We've been talking about Mayor Gillum and his bid now officially for the governorship. And in that conversation, Bill, we touched on this idea that if you are in political life, if you've declared candidacy, or if you are in fact representing some constituency, it is a daily, maybe hourly, sort of onslaught of criticism. It doesn't matter where you hang your hat, you can count on it.
You mentioned who were shocked that Brian DeLoach would be seen around the White House. They would hate Trump under any circumstance. No matter, there's nothing he could have said in the speech the other night, nothing he could possibly do.
Yeah.
And of course, he has his supporters. I have friends here in town who some of them are more reluctant than others. They have perhaps been won over since he became the nominee of their party. But it's, I know very, very few, if any, people who are, could go either way on Donald Trump.
Right.
Now, if
either you love him or you hate him.
If Brian DeLoach was in a photo op with, say, Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, those same people excoriating him on Facebook would be saying, look at that bipartisanship. Even though he's a Republican, Brian can reach across the aisle. And, you know, they'd be praising him. And, of course, the diehard Republicans that local Republican leaders would be saying,
what's
he
doing?
Is he going to be the next Charlie Crist? What's he?
And as an analyst, you step back from that and you look at the last, you know, 20, 30 years that you've been doing this work. It's not, is it fun anymore? I mean, is it even?
Well, it's fun to watch because as you said, I don't run for office. I don't.
No.
I would
That's
not.
You're too smart.
Probably because, but it's true. My wife was a member of the Georgia House of Representatives for only one term. Mm. She was elected in 1980, and it was an extremely difficult, grueling thing. Mm. 1980 was a lot more gentle, I think, and a woman running, perhaps at least at that time, was not as badly beaten and abused as today, but it's gotten a lot nastier. But Cindy, at that time, lost friends, I think, and she was disappointed in other friends who she didn't mind so much that they were committed to. There were five candidates in the race for this one Atlanta House of Representatives seat.
Right.
And she could understand people are committed and they weren't able to support her, but sometimes she was disappointed that people she thought were friends felt it necessary to say bad things about her in supporting the candidate that they chose. And I'm sure some of her supporters probably lost friendships over supporting her rather than others. And these were Democrats. You can imagine with Republicans, they certainly didn't invent negative campaigning, but they have through social media now. They have, I think, sharpened the elbows a great deal, and you see the results. They win. Yeah.
You get the government you deserve.
It's a contact sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
And negative campaigning wins. People in 1988, George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, beat Mike Dukakis. And there were those ads I mentioned earlier, the Willie Horton ad.
Yeah.
And people, you know, they showed Boston Harbor, the pollution. And the vice president went to American flag factories and had himself photographed. People, of course, Mike Dukakis did not wear an American flag lapel pin. I mean, like that matters, you know. And people were saying, come on, this is, yeah.
I recall during the presidential campaign last two years, it was pointed out that the ad that LBJ aired.
The Daisy ad?
Yeah. And Goldwater called him and said, if you run that one more time, I will sue you. And it never did air again.
Yeah, well, that was
the first of that kind.
The backstory on that was that
strategy.
They put it out on a cheap in those days.
Yeah.
WRC television in Washington is the cheapest ad rates on weekends, and they ran it on a Washington TV station. All the networks picked it up and played it as a news story.
Yeah.
And said, "Look what they're doing." Huh. And
it was.
I think it was the Democratic National Committee, and Johnson said, oh, that wasn't me, that's the DNC doing that. And it got repeated and played in news stories. For listeners who are younger than 60, the Daisy ad was a little girl picked up a daisy and was pulling the petals off, counting them, and the voiceover, the announcer's voice, the camera zoomed in on her eye, the little girl's eye looking up in the sky, and the announcer's voice reverses the count of 10, 9, 8, and a nuclear explosion, a bomb
right,
goes off.
Right, you see the mushroom cloud.
The voice said, the stakes are too high to stay home November 3rd, vote Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
And the implication being, without ever mentioning Barry Goldwater, the implication being Barry Goldwater wanted to start a nuclear war.
Yeah. When you look around our community, Tallahassee, you look around even beyond the state of Florida. What are some of the stories right now that have you fascinated?
Well, it's just starting now, of course, with the biggest one in town. It's got to be Mayor Gillum.
Hmm.
And to follow up on our previous segment, I will say that the bad news that coincided that he tripped over the day he announced, he handled it, I think, very well. He didn't lie. But he didn't deny anything. Mm. He didn't blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He owned it. He said, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm going to reimburse the city. He did the best possible thing he could do with it, which is encouraging because we all remember Bill Clinton saying, well, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. And some others over the years,
we've seen
politicians who did not own up to their mistakes. So obviously the biggest game in town is going to be the mayor. Here again, historically, Tallahassee has not had a governor since Leroy Collins in 1954. Mm-hmm. He was a state senator and he was a statewide figure. He wasn't mayor of Tallahassee.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if our town can be a political base compared to, say, Miami or Orlando, et cetera. Whether a candidate, all of our candidate governors lately, Bush, Governor Scott, Charlie Crist, they've all been pretty well off. Charlie Crist wasn't a multimillionaire, but he wasn't worrying about his next cheeseburger either.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if a guy who is not really wealthy, even by political standards, not wealthy by middle class standards, if he can be a serious candidate. The other story locally, of course, is going to be who succeeds Gillum. We've already seen Scott Maddox.
Possibly.
Would like to, of course, Scott Maddox abhors a vacuum. We've had Scott Maddox for Attorney General, for Governor, for Agriculture Commissioner, you know.
He's a utility player.
Yeah.
He plays in all positions.
I often wonder if we could have yard signs that just have a blank fill-in, you know. Scott Maddox for and a blank line.
That's right.
But also, flip side of that, he's a very competent, well-liked, He knows what he's doing. He's a pro.
Right.
And Curtis Richardson, also city commissioner, he could run for mayor.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see who gets in on that.
Yeah. Folks, we grabbed him now because the legislative session is marching forward. It's coming. And once the session starts, it gets real hard to get a hold of Bill because he pretty much, I think they have a cot for you somewhere.
Well, I'm
down
sure
there.
I'll be back. We can talk. The legislature will give us plenty to talk about.
Plenty to talk about. Bill Cotterell, our good friend, the friend of many, celebrated political writer, columnist with the Tallahassee Democrat. Great having you with us today, my friend.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
Folks, that's what I've got for you at the moment. Stay with me. Coming up after the top of the hour, I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricky out and truck. Trucking Hard Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a lovely Saturday. The first Saturday in March. Can you believe this? March. What happened to February? February was a perfectly good month. I mean, I still have my Mylar I Love You Valentine balloon floating around in my living room. I mean, things go by so quickly, do they not? I don't recall this always being the case. It seems to me that the pace of life has picked up. Carl, am I wrong there? I mean, does it seem that way to you? Are you beset with calendars and clocks, you know, that just seem to speed up at any moment? Well, okay, you're a bit younger than I am, so he's not even paying attention to me. He's ignoring me. That's okay. But the fact is, we are now having already passed February. We celebrated our sixth anniversary, the month of February. Now in our seventh season, bringing you all the news we can possibly gather in a week's time, at least about the stuff that we find most provocative and interesting and informative and inspiring and all of that having to do with our fair city, our beloved Tallahassee. No less today with discussions we've already had. Miriam Dady with her guest in our business spotlight feature, which we bring to you as a courtesy to the business community. No charge for that, by the way. There's always room for you at the table if you want to come and talk to Miriam about your business or a business idea if you're a startup. Sure, we've had a host of folks there from all kinds of different enterprise. And then, of course, Bill Cotterell bringing us up to date on political happenings. And the most notable in this week locally was the announcement from Mayor Gillum, his candidacy for governor of Florida. Now, by the way, if you're just tuning in, and you are beside yourself, we would say, with anxiety because you missed the first hour. Fear not, my friend, because we are faithful in archiving every show for you. Isn't that cool? See how much we love you? And you can subscribe to the podcast, and thereby you will never miss one of these delightful moments that we endeavor to bring you. So yeah, you go to TallahasseeTalks.com, and there you'll see an archive page or a link, I guess. Click on the archive, and it'll take you to that section of the site, and you can see there displayed in front of you the most recent broadcasts. But then again, you could search on a given term or name or whatever for a show that you really wanted to go back and hear that you missed, or maybe something you heard before and you wanted to hear it again. Anyway, it's there, TallahasseeTalks.com. And in line with that, I want to remind you, if you have a topic or a guest you want us to consider, or a comment you'd like to make about the show, that's fine. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. Many of you have been asking about how to review the show, posting a review about the show, which is very kind of you. You can do that on our Facebook page if you happen to participate in the Facebook circus, such as it is. It's become an even more interesting collection, I would say, of ideas and stories. But anyway, Facebook is there. You can go to our page, Tallahassee Talks, and post a review of the show, and whatever you think. I mean, if you don't like it, that's fine. You can say that. If you think it's great, you can say that. We don't filter any of that stuff. We just take it as it comes. But thank you if you are kind enough to share your thoughts with us in that public arena. And speaking of public arenas, got a few news items here for you. Our good friends over there at TCC were celebrating earlier in the week. If you recall, last Saturday, last week, I brought to your attention this Florida Intercollegiate Forensics Association competition, right? Do you remember this? So TCC College Forensics team participated as a contestant in this FIFA, and the Florida College System Activities Association State Speech and Debate Championships. And guess what? They captured both titles. Is that not cool? So congratulations to TCC Forensics team standing atop the state, this headline says. TCC scored a hard-fought win over second and third place finishers Florida State University and the University of Florida at the FIFA Championship Tournament held February 24th through the 26th on the college's main campus. So, congratulations there. First-year team members Samira Taylor and looks like Jaslim Gonzalez won individual FIFA state championships in dramatic interpretation and program oral interpretation, respectively. So, well done. And, you know, in the business of debate and speech, near and dear to my heart. Certainly we could stand to encourage such thoughtful and dedicated performances. We're in need of it, I think. The more well-spoken we can be, the better off we are. And speaking of performances, I want to say that we got news from our good friend Lori Elliott. She was on the show here a few weeks back talking about upcoming performances here in March for opening nights. Here's one, a movie you haven't seen at the Askew Student Life Cinema. That's on March 25th. March 7th, coming up this week, Rosie Golan, the singing Israeli-born singer-songwriter Rosie Golan, or maybe Golan, is performing at Goodwood Museum and Gardens. March 7th, 7:30, Goodwood Museum and Gardens. Just a couple of the performances that Opening Nights is bringing to us here in the month of March. If you want more information about local happenings, you can always go to tallyconnection.com. Great calendar of events there. Let me point out, too, one other item, and that is the upcoming edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine. It will be out here in a couple of weeks, from what I understand. Great little publication that does much to inform us and inspire us when it comes to Tallahassee and all that we bring to life. So look for Tallahassee Family Magazine. Is being distributed through various schools and churches and professional offices. You can subscribe and have us mail it directly to you. So you can do that online. Go to TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com. Stay with me, folks. I've got a great opportunity to introduce to you Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda with her own segment now. This is being the debut of our wonderful contributor, Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, with her guest coming up in this portion of the show. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Hello, this is Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda on the Tallahassee Talks radio show. And this is one of my first segments, and I'm happy to have my dear friend Ralph DeMeo with us today. And Ralph has been a dear friend for a couple decades, and he has contributed to the community, to the profession of law. And I just want to talk about him for a while and do a little profile of him and then talk about some of the things he's interested in. So, Ralph, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for not referring to me as an old friend.
I wouldn't. You're not old. It's just a long-time friend.
True.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So you're a lawyer, and what?
Yes, I prefer to tell people I'm a teacher.
Aha, I know that about you.
As you know, I've worked with
you
for over 20 years at TCC, and when I meet new people, I get a much better reaction when I tell them I'm a teacher than I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, you used to say I was your boss. You don't say
yes,
that much anymore.
You're the actual only boss I've ever really had.
That's right, because you are a partner with?
With the Tallahassee-based law firm of Hopping, Green, and Sams.
Yes, and what do you do there besides lawyering?
We specialize in generally what you would call governmental law, and my areas of expertise include environmental land use, healthcare, administrative, real estate, and more recently, animal law.
That's right, and that's what we're going to talk about today too as well, but you've volunteered in the community quite a bit.
Yes, one of the things I appreciate about my firm is that we encourage community involvement, and I've served on a number of boards. I was on the March of Dimes Birth Defects Board for probably 15 years.
Wow.
And served as their statewide lobbyist for several years. And then I've worked with United Way. I'm on the Community Human Services Partnership for the City of Tallahassee, Safety Town, where we train children on how to avoid fire hazards and traffic hazards. I served for many years on the board of the Animal Shelter. And as a result of that, I actually co-founded, along with my other dear friend, Kate McFall, the Animal Shelter Foundation. And as a spinoff of that, the organization I'm currently involved in, which is Pets Ad Litem.
Right. And you've done some fun things with Pets Ad Litem. One thing that Mike and I were involved in, and me, I suppose, made my rock star debut.
Yes,
my
performed.
One and only, and then I was never gone back on the stage to do that.
You were one of our performers. Pets Ad Litem is primarily made up of lawyers and government folks who support the animal shelter and work with local governments on animal ordinances. We assisted the city of Tallahassee with the update of their animal code several years ago, and we're working with them now on the Animal Crimes Task Force behind the leadership of Commissioner Scott Maddox and others.
That's
and
great.
So I work very closely with the City of Tallahassee and supporting the animal shelter and working with animal law related topics. Our biggest fundraiser every year is what we used to call Celebrity Karaoke. Now we call it Celebrity Showcase because it's really not karaoke. As you know, you go to the studios and you practice with a band and then the band performs live behind you.
That was such fun. Oh, that was
great.
Such fun.
It's coming up in a couple months at the Moon. If you're interested in it, go to our website, which is petsadlitem.com. And all the information about the event will be there. And 100% of our net goes to the animal shelter. And because we're 100% volunteer-driven and we get a lot of great support from sponsors, Scott Carswell at the Moon and the Tallahassee Democrat has been great. Jason Taylor at WTNT is always one of our performers. Frank Ranicki from Channel 6 performs every year. You perform. We're hoping to get you out there again.
This year, start practicing my song.
This year's
no sunshine
theme
when
is
he's
the
gone,
70s.
Okay.
It's a disco, 70s disco theme.
Okay.
So it's called Staying Alive at the Animal Shelter.
Oh, that'll be, that's really great.
Real passion is anyone who knows me like you is animals and animal welfare.
Absolutely. And, you know, that contributes to, I think, a resilient community because, and you know, if a community treats its the animals that it stewards and children and elders and those folks who need our help, I think that that's a good mark of a great community. And so I think we're doing a pretty good job. How would you rate us?
I agree. We actually have a very supportive local government community, primarily the city of Tallahassee, but Leon County as well. They support financially the animal shelter. That isn't always true in local governments. Most animal shelters around the state are kind of on their own, and people that come to visit us from outside of Tallahassee, Leon County are amazed at the support we have. As I think you know, there are more charities per capita in Tallahassee than any other city in the state of Florida.
It's a wonderful community.
It's a very giving
Absolutely.
Community, and animals seem to have a special place, so it's gratifying.
That's great. And, you know, and talk about the task force a little bit, because I think as we talk about resiliency, when you look at crime rates and you look at crimes against animals, helpless, innocent animals, and how that relates to other kinds of things that might go on in a community.
There's no question about that. There's been a number of studies that have confirmed the connection between violence and cruelty to animals, and later in life, violence and cruelty to humans. Something like 7 out of 10 serial killers abuse their animals as younger people. It really is chilling. And what we're seeing a lot more of, too, is that in the household, the threat or actual use of violence against a family pet in domestic relations disputes.
That can be torture. I mean, really.
More often than not, the husband will threaten the wife with harm to her beloved dog or cat if she doesn't, you know, do whatever it is he wants her to do. And there's actually been some legislation that's been introduced in Florida over the years to try to address that. And we're hopeful that there will be some developments in that regard, where you actually add the abuse of a domestic pet to the definition of domestic violence.
Well, that's great.
That isn't the case in Florida law right now.
Are there other states that have
Right. And Florida, I wouldn't say is progressive in the area of animal welfare, but I can say that we're seeing a shift in that.
Okay.
And one of the things I do, as I think you know, is I'm the chair this year of the Florida Bar's Animal Law Section. And this is our inaugural year, and we have almost 500 members now statewide of active Florida Bar members, lawyers in the state, which is an indication of the commitment that we seem to have to animal law and animal welfare.
And that's great. That is a great contribution to the state, and I think we're going to talk some more about that in the next segment and talk some more about the animal law section, what it does, what that means, a little bit about the Florida Bar and how that contributes to the strength of the state, and a little bit more about the task force and its makeup and where you see that going. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. All right. Thank you so much.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, now we're back in the second segment with Ralph DeMeo, and we've been talking about animal law. We've been talking about community service that Ralph has done, specifically relating to animals, and we're going to continue that conversation. So, Ralph, what's going on in the state legislature with regard to animal law?
Yeah, one of the most exciting things, and you were very much a part of this, and you participated as a panelist on our legislative discussion for the animal law section of the Florida Bar at one of our continuing legal education seminars, which we do every year. And there have been probably 10 or 12 animal-related bills filed in the last three or four legislative sessions, which is far more than we'd ever seen in years before that. And we think it's a reflection of the fact that people are becoming more and more aware of the importance of animals in our society. And it's bipartisan. That's the thing that's really exciting. We have a number of Republicans and Democrats that support these initiatives. And it really, as you know, from as a past member, whether they move or not has to do with a lot of issues that may not even relate to the merits of the issue.
That's right. But it's inspiring, and it's comforting to know that there are some issues that are bipartisan and that we can move forward, because, you know, I think people think that things are more conflicted up there than they are, and it's a pretty, you know, tough arena. But there are things that Republicans and Democrats absolutely agree on or can get together on. And so what are some of those bills?
Yeah, let me tell you about one that we're really excited about that I've been assisting with. And it has to do with the use of animals, primarily dogs, in courtrooms. There's actually a statute, Section 92.55, that specifies that only children in sexual abuse proceedings can have dogs in court. But what we're seeing in practice statewide is the use of dogs in a variety of contexts, and dependency proceedings, adults with intellectual disabilities, and other contexts. So there's a bill pending right now. It's Senate Bill 416, and the companion is House Bill 151. We call it Justice's Best Friend Act.
Okay.
And it allows the use of animals, primarily dogs, in a variety of contexts in state courts. And we believe it's going to pass. It's got bipartisan support. We've touched base with the Office of the Governor, and they're okay with it too. So it's a good example of where we can all come together on something that really is important.
Right, and that just opens things up for the court system. It makes what's happening legal. Who are the sponsors of those bills?
There's a number of sponsors. Locally, Monford is
okay.
our sponsor.
Great, okay. Yes. Well, thank you, Senator Monford.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been great, and we really have had no opposition so far.
I can't imagine who might be opposing that, but you never know. I mean, things come out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a court funding issue or something of that nature. So tell me, how did that bill get there? Did it come through the section? And could you talk to us a little bit about what it means to be a section in the Florida Bar?
Sure. It came from a number of groups. We work locally with the Tallahassee Memorial Hospital Therapy Dog Program. Chuck Mitchell and Stephanie Perkins and others, and they have one of the best, most successful programs for the use of therapy dogs in courtrooms in the country.
And right here.
Right here.
In Tallahassee, in the capital
Tallahassee.
City. Yeah,
the second judicial circuit that we're part of is actually a leader in the use of therapy dogs. in courtooms.
Another Judge Hankinson, point of excellence, yeah.
Has been great. Circuit Judge Hankinson, John Hankinson, has allowed them and has been a leader, and some of the other judges. So we're very fortunate here, much as we were saying before. So it came from these groups that wanted to see the expansion of the use of these dogs in the courtroom setting. And it's not limited to dogs, but that seems to be what happens mostly. The Florida Bar has about 100,000 members. It's a very
pretty
active
strong,
bar.
Yeah.
And the business of the bar is conducted through groups that we refer to as sections. And they're substantive law sections. For example, I'm a member of the Environmental and Land Use Law Section, the Administrative Law Section, the Real Property Section.
And I'm a member of the Entertainment Law Section.
Exactly.
Right?
And so we, after years of serving as a committee, which is kind of a lower status, the Board of Governors, which governs the bar under the auspices of the Florida Supreme Court, agreed that we had demonstrated that we deserve to be a section, and now we are one, and it gives us a lot more opportunities to conduct legal education training, produce materials to help lawyers and the public understand the issues associated with animal law. We're not an advocacy group.
Right.
We're more of an educational group.
That's great. And so will the judges be educated on the use of animals within the courts?
Yeah. Yes, let me tell you about that. That is probably the most exciting project that I've worked on in a very long time in the context of animal law. Again, I mentioned the city of Tallahassee working with Leon County formed the Animal Crimes Task Force, and frankly, that was because of an uptick in the incidence of animal-related crimes in our community. And that reflects what's happening statewide and nationally. We are working on a number of programs, including further modifications to the Animal Code in Tallahassee, which is a very progressive code, improvements at the Animal Shelter, which, as I mentioned, is a very good shelter. But most interestingly to me is a judicial training program. The judges have statewide judicial college, they refer to it as, and just like lawyers have continuing legal education, so do judges. And yet, while we see an increase in the number of cases involving animals, whether it's animal abuse, animal neglect, or crimes committed against animals, or animals involved in fighting, dog fighting, or animal attacks,
right.
Variety of contexts, even things like condominium association disputes over whether you can bring an animal into your condominium. Pet trust is becoming huge. There are so many issues out there, but the judges don't really have the background experience or training. Very few of them took animal law, which is a relatively new class they teach in the law schools.
Yeah, I'm not a judge, but I don't remember taking
animal
law at the University of Florida.
Right, it didn't exist when I was in law school at FSU either.
Yeah.
But I'm heading up, with the help of other members of the animal law section and Pets Ad Litem, all lawyers, a task force that is developing training modules for circuit judges in the Second Circuit, which we intend to take statewide, to educate them on the issues relating to animal law. So it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And I didn't even know all that about you. Yes. And you've educated, you are a teacher. I mean, you are a teacher. You're asked to go and teach continuing education on environmental law with the bar and the section you belong to. But you also teach at Tallahassee Community College, and that's been a love of yours for a very long time. Can you talk about a little bit about that and your students and TCC?
Thanks. Yeah, I've been a teacher for 45 years. I started as an English professor, and I always tell people I'm a PhD dropout because I was in a doctoral program at the University of Florida in Fine Arts and Creative Writing. I got my master's degree at Stetson University in DeLand, which is a lovely campus and a great college.
Yeah.
I taught at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and I taught creative writing seminars at Stetson. But facing the reality, economic realities of the late 70s, early 80s, I ended up going to law school. But I continued my teaching. And you, I'm always going to be grateful to, for giving me the opportunity, something like 25 years ago at TCC, to teach in the legal studies program, primarily paralegals and others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. I teach a couple classes every semester. I also have had the privilege of teaching at FAMU. I've, I'm an adjunct there also, and I teach environmental science, environmental policy there intermittently, and I do lectures there once or twice a year. And then I've had the opportunity to do lectures at Florida State. Professor Tricia Matthews, whom you know, teaches animal law there, and she brings me in to teach her classes there from time to time. We helped found the Student Animal Legal Defense Fund at FSU, and we have a pro bono program where we bring in, 10 or 12 law students to get their pro bono hours done by working on animal law related classes. We were the first and only animal related charity to get that approval, and now we're working with 5 or 6 other law schools in the state, and we've probably had 200 or 300 law students come through our program, get their pro bono credits by working with us on animal law related issues. So it's been very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's very exciting to hear about everything you're involved in, because we go out to lunch once in a while, and we catch up, and I'm always astounded to hear all the things you're doing. You're a center of excellence yourself, and so we're happy to have you in this community. Thank you, Ralph, for being on the show and for being with us and doing your work in the community.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, I have to tell you, my friends, it's been a remarkable show today with so many great conversations. Bill Cotterell with us in the first hour. And yes, the theme, if we have one today, I think could be described as reflective of the times in which we find ourselves. What kind of process is initiated? And I'll say, Michelle, if anybody can speak to the process, not only in terms of what it means to declare one's candidacy, and then to see this machine, all the lights come on, right?
Yes.
And it just goes into motion.
Yes.
Then to actually be in office and serve 2 consecutive terms. And now for you to be talking to somebody like, what did I say?
Four consecutive terms. Yeah.
See, 8 years. I always think you're 4 and 4, but it's
two
times 4
house,
is 8
House
years.
Members must keep running.
Absolutely. Run. 8 years of your life.
It was 10, because we started campaigning 2 years before, maybe even 3.
Golly.
And so it was a decade, and it was a marvelous decade. But I got to tell you something.
Remarkable.
It was like being chased. You had it was competitive, and you had to be on your toes every minute.
Yeah.
And I will tell you about the thing about running.
Yeah.
I remember signing the papers, and my eyes are big right now with the memory of it. It was the first time I signed the papers to run. You declare your candidacy. You declare that you're going to read the ethics statute. You know all that, and you need to be aware of all the ins and outs of the ethics rules and so on. And I told my husband, I said, I'm not doing this until I have the best ethics attorney by my side on retainer. And I did, and that was Mark Heron. At least that's who I think is one of the best ethics attorneys in the state of Florida. And he was my lawyer, just to advise me so that I wouldn't fall into pitfalls and potholes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Days when the daily, almost hourly pop-up of the next breaking news item, people in leadership, certainly in political position, have to watch even more so everything that happens. And then you have those stories that are being manufactured.
Right, because ethics, or the lack thereof, or the ethical missteps, or the fact that you've missed one thing or another, that gets used as a weapon.
That's amazing.
And so that, you have to sort of be defensive in that. Yeah. And I think anybody who's not, you know, does that at their own peril of their campaign.
Well, good for you to have decided in this case. You've taken another big leap of faith with us and in contributing to our welfare once again.
I'm very, very happy and pleased to have the opportunity to do that.
Well, folks, so I tell you,
good to work with you, Brian.
We are so delighted. And if you didn't catch the news earlier, Michelle has agreed to serve as a regular contributor here to our show, and we are excited to see how that will all play out. And as you know, with us, it's always a question from week to week. What is it that Tallahassee is talking about? And so that's sort of the, I suppose for me, it's sort of the adventurous parts.
Yes.
Or part of this whole endeavor to really be in that process of discovery and to have you out there with me in that and with us, bringing to us people like Ralph DeMayo. I mean, what a remarkable individual.
Absolutely.
He is.
And I've known him for a couple decades or more, and he has always contributed to the community. He's an excellent lawyer. He brings excellence to this community. And it's folks like that, yeah, that make our community resilient and strong, and the diversity of the gifts that they have to give and that they are willing to give. And so, you know, I've been pleased to know Ralph. He's also taught at Tallahassee Community College as an adjunct for, you know, as we heard. And so, you know, it is, you know, it's wonderful to know these great people in Tallahassee and to bring them to you and the audience.
It's remarkable when you start to peel back, we'll say, the layers of the onion, or when you begin to do this bit of investigation and you begin to discover, as we have in our now 6 years of broadcasting this show, the diversity, you mentioned it, the remarkable stories, just individually, people who are just world class.
Yes.
You know, Star Swain, who shows up at the nation's Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, and sings the national anthem.
Absolutely.
I mean, who is a teacher then out in Monticello in Jefferson County.
And it's wonderful because Tallahassee has these threads that stretch to all parts of the globe.
Absolutely.
And we should be really proud of what we have here. We are the capital city, the third largest state in the union, and that is, it's a seat of excellence.
It has been said that our people are our greatest natural resource. Yeah,
absolutely,
right?
And that's the truth.
I've come to believe that. It's been proven. And to have you as part of that whole conversation going forward, I can't imagine now. I mean, I'm just thrilled. I feel like a kid here.
Well,
I'm like,
I think we're both enjoying this, and I think this is going to be a joy. I think it's a joy.
Well, the discoveries that you're about to bring to our attention, I think, are going to be fantastic.
And maybe a little statewide stuff, too. You know, as you know,
you
we were
know.
Talking earlier today, you and I, mm-hmm. I was at the 25th anniversary of the Holocaust Museum in St. Petersburg over the weekend.
Right.
And, you know, as we know that there's some ugly things happening out there
Indeed.
In the world, there's also some very beautiful things happening out there in the world.
Good
and
reminder,
in St. Petersburg, there were over 700 people attending a gala to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Holocaust Museum, and it was just a joy to be there.
Fantastic.
David Eisenhower spoke, and
Fantastic.
what a joy that was.
You know, it recalls for me this topic that you have been faithful in bringing to our attention, this business of resiliency, right? And what it means to be a resilient individual, what it means to be a resilient community. And when you think of the celebration of the Holocaust Museum, right, its anniversary, in and of itself, is that an example of us helping to increase our resiliency by awareness?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Mike and I sat with three survivors of the Holocaust, and that is sobering. And you are able to talk to folks that had experience of one of the worst times in our history. But we were also celebrating the idea that there came to be, you know, something beautiful out of that.
Indeed.
Something that educates young people.
Right.
You know, the museum is there to make sure that it never happens again.
Yeah.
And I think that they're in that, there's joy. And David Eisenhower was just a joy to listen to.
Incredible.
You know, with stories about his grandfather and his father.
That's fantastic.
And it was a great evening.
Well, and to bring that back home, we have the HERC here, the Holocaust Education Resource Council. Barbara Goldstein
yes.
and her folks do a fantastic job with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Again, Tallahassee
Good
contributing
yep.
to the resilience of our own community through that work. Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda. We're so glad that you are a part of this on an ongoing basis. She will be with us on a consistent basis as one of our contributors. Thank you for your contribution
Thank you.
Today.
Thank you. It's going to be a joy.
Remarkable.
All right, thank you.
Well, that's what we have for you, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com, and inviting you to be a part of the show again next Saturday. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and I'll be looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk with me. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.